In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Up your voice and bless him. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Can you lift your hands and honor him? You deserve all praise. We bless you for who you are. We bless you for that which you have done. Hallelujah. In 1 minute, I just like you to say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for that which you have done in my life. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for bringing beauty and glory out of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Cry for revelation tonight. It's a communion service. Lord, give me understanding. Give me revelation. We open ourselves to the influence of the spirit of revelation and understanding, that we may comprehend with all the saints the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming around. Tonight is a very powerful night. It's a communion service. And I want you to be very, very sensitive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I appreciate everyone. Please permit me to appreciate two great people. I'm Sin Tokumbo. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, sir. And Pastor Jakes and his lovely wife. Let's honor him. Thank you so much. Every other person, I love you. God bless you. Walk up to three people. Tell them it's Good Friday. Prophesy every bad thing out of their life this night. It's Good Friday. In the name of Jesus, it's Good Friday. Hallelujah. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the privilege that he has given us to share on this night. And I kept thinking, truly speaking, and trusting God for grace that we will understand the significance of this. All over the world, this day is being celebrated. Some ignorantly, some with understanding, some emotionally. But the most important thing is that we are taking our time to acknowledge Jesus. And I just thought to share a few things with us that I believe will bless us and then prepare us for the communion. The first thing I want to talk about is eternal life. I just want to talk about a few things tonight. More like a charge to build and prepare our hearts. The reality of eternal life. The Bible says, this is the testimony, the record, that God has given us eternal life. Write this down. The word eternal life is not a very accurate communication, but it was the best that the translators could do. Because the word eternal is not a very good rendition. Everyone has eternal life. Everyone has everlasting life. Are we together now? Everyone created by God. Doesn't matter whether we fell from whatever. The fact that we came from him satisfies the condition to have eternal life. That's why when evangelists preach, they don't say, will you spend eternity? The question is location, not the possibility. Everyone will spend eternal life. The idea of death, as we know, is not cessation from living. It's the translation from one dimension of existence to another. And that translation comes with certain possibilities. If you are with God, then it's called life everlasting. If you are apart from Him, then it is called death. But that does not mean you will not live again. Are we together? The idea of what we know to be everlasting life is from the Greek word zoe. Please, I want us to understand. Very simple exposition, but will hold the key to our victory. Eternal life is a kind, is a quality. The idea is not another life. The idea is an all-surpassing life in quality. Like you go to buy stuff in the market and they tell you, this one is fake, or generally for everyone. And then they take you into another room and they say, there is another one. If you have the money, they can bring it down. So eternal life is not one of the many lives. This is what you need to understand. Eternal life is a quality of life that has sustained within it certain possibilities that only in Christ would they manifest. Being in Christ is the secret to activating that life. Is a life pregnant with possibilities, and the nature of that life is such that the possessor of it should be like God. Are we together? So whoever by any means can have access to that life, there is an implication that that life should cause in you. It should begin to produce certain effects that reflect God. If by any means a plant has that life, that plant will start behaving like God. Are we together? If by any means a handkerchief possesses that life, that handkerchief will begin to behave like God. Enshrined in that life is capacity to release all the multifaceted possibilities that are in God. It is God's own life. It's not an inferior type. So when the Bible says this is the record, that God, out of His benevolence, has given us Zoe, a class and a kind of life, then the Bible says that that life is in His Son. So the condition to possess that life is that you must accept the Son. Outside of Jesus, there is no possibility of sustaining such a life. Now, there are other kinds of lives that you can access. You can access a life assisted by the realm of the Spirit. It may not be eternal life. Are we together now? I can go to a native doctor to program a mystery in a charm and aid me to live a life that is higher than the normal human life. So I will be able to demonstrate possibilities that may not be affordable to the natural man, but it still is not eternal life. So we are not talking of any life that is above the human life. There are many kinds and quality of lives and living that are above the human life but are not God's life. Are we together? When you meet a rich man, although it's all human life, because of the quality of what he or she eats and the children, their health and the possibilities that come with the kind of life would be far different from someone who eats once a week, once in 2 days. Are we together now? When you meet someone who has had access to certain drugs that can aid vitality, you would find that whether they are supplements or whatever it is, there is an advantage that those provisions create to such a person that will reflect in the quality of his life from another. So when Jesus is talking about eternal life, it's not a cadre of lives and then his own is the highest. No. Eternal life is a class of life incontestable and incomparable with any other. It's a class of life that reflects who God is. He programmed all the possibilities in Him like a software and encapsulated it in that life. So that whoever receives that life receives potentials Notice my choice of words. Receives the potentials to reflect all that are in Christ and all the possibilities that are enshrined in the person. Now, many Christians come to give their lives to Christ. We come out for an altar call. We recite all kinds of things like many will be doing shortly. But very few people, Pastor Jakes, really understand that kind of life. Are we together? And not understanding what we have received will shortchange us. And for many people, their idea of eternal life is we only receive an escape from hell, which will be useful one day. So for now, let's keep it and go back to our normal life. At death, it becomes activated. That is the idea that many people have about what we call eternal life. So they say, are you born again? They say, yes. What they mean is, I got that thing that saves me from hell, but it's somewhere hidden. I will keep living my defeated life. And then if for any reason death comes, it's the trigger. I bring it out as an escape. Are we together now? The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God. The word born of God is, if it is God that introduced the seed that gave birth to it, has in it, it says, overcomes the world. Not because of the possessor, but because of what is inside the possessor of that life. Whatsoever is born of God has capacity to overcome the world. And it says, this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. That's something I'll be discussing shortly. So eternal life is not life after death. Eternal life is God's life that grants a man ascendance to release the possibilities of God here and now. Are we together? It is important that we understand this. It will reflect in the quality of your life and it will reflect in everything. The moment I give my life to Christ, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, listen to me carefully. It says that I have been called as a result of that initiation out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every nation, and by implication, out of the limitations that come with those systems. Are we together? Let me tell you something about eternal life. Eternal life is a fact. One of the tenets of the Christian faith is the fact that when a man declares the lordship of Christ over his life, he is a possessor of eternal life. It's a fact. There are many tenets, what we call the pillars of the Christian faith. Number one of them is that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. You have to know what you believe. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven given to man by which men must be saved. The first tenet of the Christian faith is the exclusive authority of Christ to be the only one to bring men to the Father. No prophet, no priest, no apostle, no prophet, no religion, no sect can claim to route you through another path to the Father. The Bible says, no man cometh to the Father except by me. The authorized medium to access the Father and the life of God is Jesus Christ. You are not a Christian if you don't believe this. Number two, salvation is by grace apart from works. The second tenet of redemption, the Christian faith, the pivot upon which everything we receive is salvation. As far as receiving the life of Christ comes, it is by grace, through faith, and not by any ritual. The word works there does not mean no action. That's not what it means. There is an action. Your faith is an action. Are we together? The works there gives an idea of ritualistic activities. I don't have to slaughter an animal. I don't have to go to the mountain in Israel to bow my head. I don't have to face the sun or face Jerusalem. All of those ceremonial rituals have been ended. The Bible says Christ is the end of that law, not the end of action. The end of the law. Are we together now? There are three dimensions of the law. Not all of them left. You have to understand this.
There is the revelation of the law that is the revelation of the character of God. That will never change. It predated the law. It will never change. The universality of God's character is consistent. Whether from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the soul that sins will die. Nothing changes it. Grace only intercepts it, but that reality is still a fact. Are we together? Number two, there is the ceremonial activity of the law. That has been abolished. The observation of sons, observation of festivals, and so on and so forth, in a way to know God, is been abolished. Are we together? Number three, the rituals. The rituals that men practice in an attempt to atone for their sins. So when the Bible says Christ is the end of the law, it doesn't mean that the coming of Christ changes the character of God. The universality of God's character is a fact. I am the Lord, I change it not. Are we learning something tonight? You have to understand the tenets upon which you stand. That number one, Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Number two, that justification by faith is an act of His grace. You must understand this. It was an activity that no man could qualify to even participate and help God. So he had to do it by himself. The only responsibility of the believer, as far as the impartation of eternal life is concerned, is to believe and act by faith. According to Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 and 10, it says, who shall ascend to heaven and come? He said, the word is nigh thee in thy heart and even in thy mouth, the word of faith that we preach. Right? That if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, the Bible says, and with the mouth confession is made unto soteria, salvation. So justification is by faith. I don't come to God with a goat, hoping that if any priest asks you to come with a goat, you see that he's not practicing all of that again. Are we together now? Very, very important. Number three, the third thing you have to understand is that the Holy Spirit is the custodian of the life of God. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the life of God. It is in the office of Jesus the Son to introduce you to that life. But the personality that holds that life within you is the Spirit of God. And that only in partnership with Him will you have capacity to release the possibilities in that life. It's called the fellowship of the Spirit. You must know this if you want to walk as a believer. The Holy Spirit represents the ministry of Christ now. Every time the Bible says in Christ, it means in partnership with the Spirit that hails from Him. I can do all things through Christ. In partnership with Him, the Holy Spirit is the custodian of the life of God and the one who makes it possible to release the potentials there. Listen to me very carefully. You can be a possessor of the life of God, but not a manifester of the possibilities contained in that life. There are two different things. Possessing eternal life by confessing Christ is a fact, has nothing to do with your feelings, but walking experientially in the reality of that life has to do with your partnership with the Holy Spirit. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through knowledge. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Listen carefully. According as his divine power hath given us how many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. That all things was shrouded in a mystery called Zoe, brought by the Holy Spirit. His very presence is the proof of Zoe in you. He's the witness, the spirit of adoption. Are we together now? And then the Bible says, but they are accessed through knowledge. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It says through the knowledge. Here is the big confusion in the body of Christ. Through the knowledge of him that has called us into glory and virtue. The next verse says, wherefore has he given us these great and exceedingly precious promises, that by them, by releasing them, we may prove experientially that we are partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So I have eternal life, but that eternal life is a possibility. Potentially speaking, it's at work in me. It will never stop the devil from buffeting you. But in partnership with the Holy Spirit, manifesting as various things, including the spirit of revelation that Paul prayed for in Ephesians chapter 1. He was talking to people who were already born again, but were not releasing the possibilities that came with that life. And he says, for this cause, for as a token of my desire for you to walk in these dimensions, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may grant unto you the spirit of revelation, wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, that your heart, although has received eternal life, that it be flooded with light. Are we together now? Then he says that you may understand the power that was exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, etc., etc. So I can be born again, you can be born again, but the reality of the implication of that life may not find expression. That's why the Bible says it is by grace, available by grace, but accessible through faith. Listen carefully. Available by grace, but accessible through faith. And the word faith there does not just mean believing. The faith there is a summation of every partnership that you have to go through in satisfying the condition to release that. So grace provides it. Faith, hallmarked by your obedience, releases it. This is the equation of the believer's work. If it's not available by grace, it cannot be accessible. So when we partner with the word of God, we are not ignoring the grace of God. We are receiving it. Our obedience is a token of our reception. It is available by grace, but received through faith. So when I tithe, it is not the law. I know that my prosperity and open heavens has been available by grace, but my obedience is a proof that I'm interested in seeing it work in my life. God cannot assume you are interested. He gave you a will, and your obedience is partnering with your will. So, working out your salvation is not the law. It's called partnership. It's called koinonia. It is the token of your expression. It is the token of your interest to God that you want to see everything in him find expression in you. Zoe, the life of God, received by many, experienced by few. Received by many, experienced by few. There are many possibilities that are enshrined in that life. Number one, the Bible tells us it's an indestructible life. Maybe let me finish what I started saying before we discuss a bit. I was talking about certain pillars. Are we together? The fellowship of the mystery that comes through partnership with the Holy Spirit. Number four, the reality of righteousness. Righteousness. Kenyon defines righteousness as the ability to stand before the presence of the Father without a sense of inferiority, condemnation, and guilt. I agree with that, except for the fact that righteousness is another name given to the nature of God. The very nature of God at work in a human is called righteousness. Not just an ability to stand. That is the effect of righteousness. It's not righteousness. The effect of righteousness is that the possessor can now stand blameless. But that's not necessarily the definition. Are we together now? Righteousness, the nature of God at work in me. The authorization to be able to access his spirit. Righteousness. Number three. Number what? Number five. Is that in Christ and Christ alone is dominion a possibility. In Christ and Christ alone is dominion a possibility. Please understand this. This dominion thing, people chorus around as if they don't need God. Without God, dominion is a mirage. Dominion means exercising sovereign power over situations, over circumstances, and over the forces of darkness. Write it down. Dominion, the ability to exercise sovereign power, sovereign authority over situations, over circumstances, and over the forces of darkness, is only a possibility in Christ. Every other thing outside Christ is negotiation and pacifism, not dominion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If a herbalist tells you he's trying to drive a demon, it's not dominion. Through the mysteries of the kingdom, he will pacify the spirit. It's called occultic pacifism. That's why the demon can be angry again and say the sacrifice is over, so you have to renew it. But dominion is exerting sovereign control anytime, any day, and remaining there, not renewed by anything. Listen, there is no sacrifice in the village that is done once and for all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody, come on, this is Africa. Talk to me, Africa. There is no sacrifice that is done once and for all. Whether you are aware or not, somebody goes somewhere, smuggles himself into a shrine and renews it. Can be per annum, can be per 2 years, or can be per when the gods are angry. When they start manifesting, the priest will now say, the gods have not eaten and you are eating. So people begin to die. And what happens? They slaughter a child or an animal and pacify. That's not dominion, that's negotiation. Not dominion. Bishop Oyedepo calls it a far above mentality. That's dominion. Where you are in a class that potentially speaking, you don't have any reason to relate with the vicissitudes here. And if at any point it comes, listen, let me tell you something about eternal life. Eternal life, listen carefully, eternal life is not a life void of challenges, but it's a life assured of complete victory. Now, thanks be to God who always, not sometimes, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. The next time you say that you have the life of God, don't think you are saying you have a designer watch, a designer shirt. No.
You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, through the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
Listen, if I give you a millionaire's ATM and I say, look, for some reason, for just trusting me, I reward that trust by giving you an ATM. Potentially speaking, has more money than you will need in your life. This is recession, so an example with money is a very fruitful one. It will help people understand. Are we together? He gives you an ATM. Are we together now? But for some reason, you have to be trained to know that that ATM is a fact that there's money inside. It's a fact that potentially speaking, you have access. Now, you may move around with your friend that you used to eat with before. It does not stop that the fact that you are a current possessor of that ATM. Experiencing the possibilities, someone must be introduced to your life, or a document must be introduced that is a map that guides you and says, stand before a machine, the name is ATM, and you slot it and you are patient. The dynamics of the operation, this is where knowledge and understanding comes. And you can hold that ATM forever and stand and swallow saliva in front of a shop that the ATM can buy the whole shop. Are we together now? Now, you are crying to the one who gave you the ATM and he's saying, I have made available. So, out of his love, giving you the ATM is enough, but he sent someone to come and guide you. But that person is so gentle, it will take your cooperation. So he says, look, we created this ATM. It's not like they gave us. We understand how this thing works. And you say, no. I went to school. Just hold on. When I am difficult, this is what many people do. So you hold this ATM for years. And Satan comes around and tells you this thing is only a small card. And he says it's a small card. Put it in your pocket. And you put it in your pocket and move around. This is what makes Christ look weak in the life of men. This is what makes the word of God look like it is of none effect. So in spite of the fact that this reality is a fact, knowledge of the systems of God, the provisions that have been made in place, everything we do in the kingdom is not adding to what Christ has done. It's accessing through partnership the mysteries of the kingdom that releases those possibilities. So that after 5 years of walking with God, my life should be able to reflect more of God now than it did 5 years ago. Not just in terms of finances and all of that, in terms of ascendance in the spirit. I should not fear 5 years later what I was afraid of 5 years before. I should not be a victim 5 years later of what I was a victim of before. I prayed for a gentleman here. I believe he's here. He was in the school of ministry. He had a dream. And somebody appeared to him in the dream, punched his hand, and he woke up physically with a punch with blood. Many years before, would look at it and say, "Hi, this is a serious issue," and go and shout like fools around. But when I saw it, I said, "I want to touch it. Zoe. Zoe. This is not the issue of prayer. There is an implication to the life I hold. Let the life of God make contact with that infirmity. Zoe. God's life. Possessors of divine possibilities. I want you to take your eyes away from your challenge if you want to believe this. Because that's what Satan will use to mock you. You are a possessor of that life. Why are you barren? 5 years. Don't mock yourself. And then you say it's true. There is still a provision, because to make sure that you release this life, he still gave unto some apostles and prophets. Look at all the provisions he put in place. He gave you his life, gave you his spirit, gave you his word, sent gifts in the body so that we are not without excuse. If you fail, you neglected the systems of God. You neglected his life, so you go to hell. You neglected his word, so there is no growth. You neglect his spirit, no direction. You neglect the gift, so no lifting. Anyone that fails in life, listen to me, is not God. He neglected the systems, the life of God, the spirit of God, the word of God, the gifts that he has sent. Just like there are people here looking at me who have never been interested in the life of God. The life of God is the most superior reflection of his love and benevolence. More than giving you a pastor, more than giving you a prophet and apostle, more than giving you the Bible, more than giving you whatever it is. You have to receive them in that order. You don't receive his life. Even if you receive his prophets, you will not maximize your stay. The prophets can only assist as guided by God. They cannot impart life. A man of God can impart every other thing aside from eternal life. I can impart healing. I can impart an anointing. I can prophesy to you and your life will change. But I cannot say be born again. I can even stand before God to declare your sins forgiven. Right? In terms of the limitations that stand between you. But that is only a possibility in Christ. Please, I want you to believe this. This issue of being born again is not a choice. It's not a choice. People buy phones now. Their phones get missing and they cry for days. Because owning a phone now is almost not a choice. Let's institutionalize salvation. Let's make it part of the fabric of growth. To make it look like you don't say, okay, if you want to, you want to. You better come out. Whether you know it or not, you want to. Are we together? Eternal life. What you believe about Jesus is important. You must believe that he came from heaven. If you believe he came from Israel, you are not saved. You are not a child of God. There is a footballer called Jesus. He cannot save men. He can play football, but he cannot save men. Please, let's clarify these loose ends quickly before we continue. There are things you have to believe. Jesus himself said in John chapter 6, I am the bread that came from heaven. He told us his location, that he came from heaven. You must believe that he came from heaven. Number two, you must believe in his incarnation. His incarnation is the mystery that made the word flesh. The womb of the woman is that mystery. The mystery that made the word, the eternal word that was with God, John 1 verse 1, become flesh. Many Christians don't know this. You must believe in the incarnation. Not reincarnation, incarnation. If you believe in the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, you are an antichrist. Incarnation. Incarnation. The word became flesh. Number three, you must believe in his humanity. He didn't just come and die and went away. He walked upon the earth, partook of the weaknesses of men. There is Jesus the man. He walked upon the earth. The Bible says he was in every way like us, tempted, yet without sin. If you don't believe in the humanity of Jesus Christ, you will shortchange yourself from walking in the fullness of the life of God. You must believe in the dominion he exerted by means of the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. Not by means of being Jesus, the Son of God. When he came upon the earth, he stripped himself of his Godship and submitted himself as a model to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So every result gotten in Jesus' life was not because he was Jesus. It was because he was under the influence of the Spirit, so that we are not without excuse. The same Spirit that made Jesus the Christ is the same Spirit that will make Jakes the Christ. Is the same Spirit that will make Ejimi the Christ. Is the same Spirit that will make Joshua Selma the Christ. Believe in the humanity of Jesus. He demonstrated the sovereign power of God flawlessly above creation, above principalities and powers. He demonstrated to us in his earthly life that Zoe is a possibility. Are we together? You must believe in the passion of the Christ. Theologically speaking, the entire event that took place beginning from the upper room, the communion, where they received the Holy Spirit was where they had the communion. Are we together? Down to the experience in Gethsemane, down to Pontius Pilate and Herod, who used Jesus as a scapegoat to become friends. They were enemies. But Jesus, look how powerful Jesus was. Even before he died, he reconciled enemies. Then you must believe in every activity. The mystery of the whip, for by his stripes we are healed. The mystery of the crown of thorns that was put upon his head, an exchange for our dominion restored. You must believe in the mockery that he received. You must believe in the fact that he was on his way to Golgotha, the place of skull, as an exchange for us. Jesus did not die on the road. He was hung on a tree. It was necessary that he had to be crucified. If Jesus died and it was not by crucifixion, he would not be able to take the sins of the world. There are conditions to be able to take the sins of the world. Number one, you must become flesh. Number two, your blood must be sinless. Number three, you must enact a mystery that transfers the sin of men to you. And that mystery is called the communion. The communion is not what Christians take in church. The communion is a sacrament. There's a theological name for it. It's called the doctrine of interpenetration. The mystery with which two people become one is what is used in marriage. Two separate entities by covenant, still different personalities, but one in the spirit. And that is enacted through the communion. John chapter 6. Are you getting blessed tonight? John chapter 6. Let's read. Help us, media. Let's read verse 35. Okay, just for time's sake, let's run to 53. Just four verses, 53 to 57. John chapter 6. 53. Jesus is speaking now. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he's introducing them to the mystery that will make the sins of the whole world come into him. You have to understand, it's not just that he died for us, we died in him. So you need to find out how we entered him. Because Galatians 2:20 says, I am, or I have been crucified with Christ. Not just that he was crucified for me. Are we together? Jesus died for me. That's an act of love. I died with him. That's identification. There are two different things. It's not just enough to believe he did it for you. You must believe that you did it in him. That's why we are seated with him. But we must trace where the journey started. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of my flesh. Listen carefully. Ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood. What will happen to you? Ye have no life. You are living physically, but you are not a possessor of my life. Now, to eat the flesh and to drink the blood is a mystery. There is a prophetic act called communion, a physical prophetic act, but it's a language. Remember Hosea chapter 10, right? Hosea chapter 12. I have spoken to you by the prophets. I have used similitudes. Similitudes. It's in the character of God to use similitudes. What we call prophetic act, a foreshadow, an adumbration of something physical. Like he told Moses to lift the rod, and that rod is Christ. So it's in the character of God. That's what I mean by the universality of his character. It's consistent both pre-old, old, New Testament, post-new. Hallelujah. 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath zoe. There is. And I will raise him up at the last day. 55. For my flesh is meat indeed. Now this sounds like occultism. So you have to understand. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth, he's now switching the parable for you to understand that he's not necessarily talking of physically eating. He's talking about a condition of intimacy that can be likened to eating and drinking. Prophetically adumbrated by a physical activity. To eat the blood, the body and blood of Jesus is not just to eat things. No. It is a dimension of intimacy that begins by accepting and receiving him. So he says, dwelleth in me and I in him. Eating and drinking is an adumbration of a system that gets you into Christ and gets Christ into you. Last verse. As the living Father hath sent me. Now listen. And I live by the Father. Do you know what that means? That means I ate and drank of the Father. So I now live in the Father. That same system that made me to live by the Father, it says, so that he eateth me shall also live by me. Listen, you are intelligent now. Jesus is saying, the Father gave me his life. And he called how he got that life, eating and drinking. And he said, the same way I ate of the Father's life, that means I ate of his flesh, I drank of his blood to have his life. So also, that means we must understand how did Jesus receive the way. Number one, he was born of the Spirit of the Father. Understand this. He was born of the Spirit of the Father. Number two, he was empowered by the Spirit of the Father. Number three, he walked in obedience to the Spirit of the Father. These three conditions translated to him eating and drinking. He released the reality of the fullness of the life of God. Everybody look at me. Communion is more than bread and wine. If your experience at communion stops at just eating bread and drinking wine, you are carrying out a religious activity that is powerless. The eating and the drinking only becomes powerful on the strength of your understanding. It is your understanding that releases the life. Are we together? That means, hallelujah, every day of my life I can be eating the communion. When I eat the communion, certain things happen. Many of them, we are going to look at it. The Bible says that we testify and we declare of the Lord's death. How do we declare of his death? We died with him, we are alive. That means my being alive is a testament that he is alive. When you understand all of these facets of this communion, then you will find out you can release the possibilities that come with it. Healing, breakthrough, an invocation of the mystery of mercy. I can spend all night talking about the mercy of God. The mercy of God is a mystery that starts with sinners, but is needed in the kingdom, otherwise we will not attain that height. Mercy is a mystery in God that vetoes judgment in your life. It has nothing to do with whether the judgment is legitimate or not. The moment your life is in a situation where on legal basis the devil should prevail over you, what you need is the application of the mystery of his mercy. Are we together? Remember when David took a man's wife? Are we together now? David was a man who loved God. He took a man's wife, killed the man, and when he had a man's wife, a particular prophet came. His pastor came and gave a parable. He started with a parable and gave a parable that reflected that a man bullied a man and took something. And David said, "Who is that man?" And he said, "You are the man. You are the man." Do you know what happened? The Bible says immediately David repented and sought for mercy. And I think it was Abner, his prophet. He said, the Lord has shown you mercy and you will not die. Meaning the price for that thing was death. If David did not invoke the mercy like Saul, he would die too. So David did not become an heir to the throne and then a predecessor of Jesus because of perfection. The difference between him and Saul was mercy. There was nothing Saul did that David did not do. The difference was mercy. Mercy is only available in Christ. Mercy is a mystery that Satan cannot give. Mercy is a mystery that pastors, they can pardon, but they can't show mercy. We interchange the words. Mercy is a mystery. Mercy is not to be excused. Mercy is that they pay for you. So you enjoy the freedom, but at the expense of someone else's. There are few men who can show mercy. They can pardon you. But mercy does not take away the price. It only exempts you. Hallelujah. Tenets of the Christian faith. Unshakable foundations that will make a man remain in Christ. Doctrine will rise and fall. Denomination will rise and fall. Technology will introduce sects and rise and fall. But after many years, you will still be standing. Let me tell you, if you ever fall in your Christian race, it's not because Satan prevailed over you. It's because your foundation was shaky. When you don't know what you believe, that make up your conviction. The day you meet with somebody who is an intelligent professor who studied Scientology, he will sit with you and use quantum physics to wash away your intelligence and make you look at Jesus and say, "I never knew you were Buddha's mate. It's just that you came ahead of him." Every religion acknowledges Jesus, but what you acknowledge him as makes the difference. You acknowledge Jesus Christ as a carpenter's son, it is true, but you are still going to hell. Are we together now? Yes. I believe in him, and this is what I believe about him. This is what the devil, when he comes to your life, He probes the dimensions of your convictions. Satan is not a fool. He doesn't come to attack men. When he came to Jesus, he started throwing questions. The questions were testing how far. And he found out, every dimension, there was a word basis. That word did not come by mistake. He went to the temple from age 12. He had been learning. He had been building. When Satan comes to your life, he will begin to throw issues around your life to find what dimension of spiritual reality has not become spirit and life to you. That becomes his access point to your life. Satan cometh to me. So he will come to everybody, but he did not find. Meaning there is a possibility that he can find. Listen, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You need to sustain an orientation in the spirit that defies every assault of darkness. For instance, the Bible says, while we look not at the things that are unseen, but the things that are seen. So if the devil wants to manipulate your senses to make you look like if you are truly in Christ, don't mind this stupid Joshua Selman and what he's saying. If he's really in Christ, why is A and B and C happening? The happening in your life does not change the fact that his life is in you. Our eternal destinies are determined by whether or not we are possessors of that life. But the qualities of our lives on earth are dependent on the extent of our partnership through faith with the Holy Spirit in order to release those lives. So if I look at a man's life and his life demonstrates a dimension of spiritual possibility that is not in my life, aside from other factors like the election of grace and other things, it must mean therefore that there is a dimension of partnership he has sustained with the Holy Spirit that I have not been able to come into it. That's why a family can have 5 people. Their father can be a pastor, but the extent of their results will differ. Are we together now? Listen, when Jesus walked upon the earth, he was very specific with his actions. He intended for certain things to be understood about his work on earth. That's why he had to reveal himself to Paul to document these mysteries. Although the disciples saw him, when he resurrected, he still was with them 40 days and then left them 10 days in the upper room to receive the Holy Spirit. But even in the midst of that, he still had to anoint a man, Paul of Tarsus, Saul, who later became Paul, to be able to articulate the mysteries. Paul calls it the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians 1:2-3 that we are alienated from the life of God through ignorance. Alienated from the life. Are we together now? Not experientially walking in the fullness of that life. Listen, tonight, as we prepare to receive the communion, I want you to come to terms with certain things. Number one, you must have the brokenness and the unashamedness to admit that if there is anything in your life that is yet to reflect the fullness of Christ, it is not because of a limitation caused by God. It is that there is a dimension of partnership with the Holy Spirit. Are we together? That has not yet begun or has not yet come to fruition for you to experience that dimension. You are only authorized to receive results if you can maintain that posture. That my life and your life today is not a reflection of who God is, but a reflection of how far we have chosen to walk with Him. It's an uncomfortable truth, but victory starts from that standpoint. Either He lied, or there's something wrong on our own part. Are we together? So if there are witches appearing every night, destroying your life, you sleep and somebody appears. Now listen, let me balance something. To deny the existence of that possibility is another dimension of foolishness. This is what sometimes we preachers do. We say it does not exist. No, it exists. You can only be exempted. You can't stop it. Satan still has authority over the systems. He's still the prince of the power of air. He's called a prince. The spirit that worketh in the sons of disobedience. For a season, he's still allowed. What happened is that God created a mystery that exempts you. Causes are real. They are still at work. Yokes are real. They are still at work. They will still attempt you. And until your knowledge bails you out. Knowledge of what? The systems of the kingdom. Bails you out. You will still be a victim of them. So when you come to me as a man of God and say, sir, somebody came in the night and slept with me. I say, that's nonsense. No, you are not being accurate. You may have extended a level of understanding that exempts you from that experience. But to deny the existence of that thing is a joke. What I can do is I can introduce to you what Christ gave to conquer it.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Lift your voice and sing unto him.
Hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King.
You're seated in majesty.
Seated in majesty.
You are the risen King.
You are the risen King.
My life and my experiences are too small to limit everything God said about Zoe. If I live my life today dying of sickness, dying of failure, my life cannot be a model enough to say this is all that is contained in God. And I must have the unashamedness to admit that my limitations are not caused by the inability of God to produce that result. It's been encapsulated in Zoe. It should be a challenge for me that there is a dimension of understanding through the ministry of the Word, the ministry of the Spirit, and the ministry of His body. We are members of His body, not just His spirit. We are part of the body. And the body as an entity holds possibilities. So I can love Jesus Christ, but I may not have been taught that part of His system is the introduction of apostles and prophets that can speak over your life. That can make me walk barren of the possibilities of God. But when I study through the Word that there is a provision made like that, then I can align myself to that provision and now begin to walk in a new reality. Tonight is a night of brutal admittance. We have to come to a point where we admit that, listen, my father has not gotten a job for 20 years. My mother has not gotten a job for 20 years. It is not because God cannot release jobs. It is because there may be a dimension. Either they have refused to receive His life, partner with the Spirit, understand His word, or discern His body. These are the causes. These are the things that are responsible for the limitations of people. So what we are doing tonight is not why you will be healed. What you are understanding now is why you will be healed. This understanding is what gives life to the wafers. The person who made the wine you are about to drink may be somewhere. You bought the wine, he was doing business. The person who made the wafers you are about to eat, he may even be an unbeliever. He just heard that Christians eat this thing often, and he said this is a stream of income and produced it. So you are eating somebody's value. You are not eating power. It is your understanding that translates that mystery. Like water turned to wine. Between the water and the wine was a word. When a word came, it turned the water to wine. It is that word, that understanding, that will turn bread to His body and the drink to His blood. Color does not matter. Whether the color is green or blue, it's only red to affect your psychology. Even if this is what you take, it is your understanding. In the kingdom, power is released through understanding, not just motion. You tithe, it is not the money that brings the power, it's the understanding that gives life to the activity. That's why Jesus said, this is how you will build, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Upon this rock, the rock is not Peter, the rock is a system. Upon this formula, you will build. Never speak outside of understanding. So the system is that you first understand, then you act. When you act out of understanding, you are building upon a rock. When you act void of understanding, you are building upon sand. The sons of Sceva showed us a graphic example of that. They spoke, but there was no understanding. And he said, Jesus, I know. He built upon a rock. Paul, I know. He built upon a rock. But you are just speaking. That means you come and eat because you heard that Bishop Oyedeko blessed communion and people took it, and all of a sudden people were vomiting animals, and then you take it, and as soon as you take it, as you are getting home, the same spirit comes again, because it's not the ritual. The understanding is where the power lies. So Paul, I repeat, Ephesians 1, for this cause, it's not enough that you have received Zoe. For this cause, I have to go the extra mile to bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may grant unto you, that the Holy Spirit may reveal himself unto you as the spirit of wisdom and understanding, so that you will know. Epignosis. Come into an understanding, not awareness. Come into an experience where you and the information has become one. When you understand this, then you take that step and you find out that life is now released. Some of you, because of this, you will not even be able to hold the communion cup, because you are now holding it now with understanding. The demon that oppresses you has seen the light. Understanding gives light to the symbol. Remember, the entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding. When that light comes, that's what releases the power. Ordinarily, you would have carried it and eaten and said, can I take another one? You see why Paul rebuked the church in Corinth. They were not discerning the Lord's body. A time came when many of them started using the communion for alcoholism, because they did not have a system of preserving this thing. So they looked forward to communion services. Communion will always remain. And then they didn't just take a little this thing. This is just for social reasons. And then to guide people financially. But then you could have a big cup and fetch. So there were people who would fetch and go and hide somewhere. They didn't believe in Jesus and they would drink. And Paul found out they were getting tipsy in the middle of an outpouring. And Paul said, no, you people should come. We need Bible study. Something is wrong. You guys, if you are hungry, that's what Paul said. If you are hungry, do what? Go and eat in your house. Don't come to the Lord's house and violate his temple by eating. He said, for this cause, this is it, for not discerning, for acting foolishly out of understanding, many are weak, many are sick, many do sleep. When was the last time you saw written in the grave of a man that he died because he didn't discern the Lord's body? He said he died of cardiac failure. For this cause. So if I want to improve my life, it's not all up to God. The way is at work. It's been available by grace. But my partnership, I must check the systems I'm ignoring. I am ignoring the life of God, like some of you are doing, looking at me now. Not born again. When you see people talk about get born again, they forget about them, Jared. They are just hopeless people. After all, sociology said religion is the opium of the masses. That guy may probably be in hell now. Be careful. Are we together now? Don't listen to junks. You can write it and pass your exams, but when it comes to your eternal destiny, you must be serious. You have rejected his life, or you have rejected the ministry of his spirit. You have rejected the ministry of his word. You have rejected the ministry of his body. These are the provisions made. I want to ask you a question tonight. Which one have you rejected? You can easily know it by looking at your life. You have insulted every man of God you know by saying, look, forget it. I insult every man of God. We can all go to Christ. You have accepted Christ, you may have accepted his word, but you have rejected his body. There is a consequence, a bitter one. They are taken for a prey, and none saith restore. The Bible tells us that there is a system with which God built his ecclesia, the church. He said Christ is the chief cornerstone. Immediately you meet Christ, he introduced two ministries called the apostles and the prophets. They are the foundations of the church. If you do not meet them, your building cannot grow. The cornerstone is there. You ignore them, you build nonsense. It's a system. It's an election of grace. Which one have you ignored? Some of you have supposedly admitted the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You like power. You don't doubt. Even if somebody jumps up and hangs in the air, you like it. But you have ignored the ministry of the word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That illumination that comes through his word. Pay attention to what I'm teaching tonight. You have ignored that boundary of revelation, and you will find out that there will be a lot of charismatism around your life, and you won't know which one is witchcraft and which one is of God, because there is no compass. The word of God is like a buffer solution. It defines the dimensions of the operations of the Holy Spirit. So when you are going out of it, the word of God guides you and says, no, every manifestation must be consistent with the character of God. There are people who have embraced supposedly the ministry of the word. The Bible called them men who have camped around the baptism of John and ignored the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Acts 19, remember. Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Verse 1. And verse 2, they says, we have not even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul was surprised. They were believers, disciples, going through Bible study. He said, unto what then were you baptized? They said, the baptism of John. And Paul said, no. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance, to the end that they should believe on he that should come, even Jesus Christ. And when they had it, the Bible says they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And Paul laying his hands on them, they now received the ministry of the Spirit of God. Right? They prayed in tongues and prophesied. The Bible says there were about 12 of them. Acts chapter 19, 1 to 5. Thank you very much. So it is possible to believe the Bible just because you inherited it from your pastor, but not walk with the Spirit. Jesus died to make all these systems available. His life in us, exclusively given through the office of the Christ, but released by the interaction of that believer with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the body. We teach a lot about the word of God. We teach a lot about the Spirit of God, but we ignore his body. Christ is the head. He's not a head moving around. That head has a body, and he acknowledges that the body is part of himself. And then in another mystery, he calls that body his wife. You don't ignore a man's wife and then he will laugh with you. The Bible said jealousy is the rage of a man. So as you insult his wife, simply because the wife is wounded. Are we together? If a Jimmy's wife has an injury, and you say because of that she's no longer a woman, a Jimmy will stand close to her first before he will give you a slap. You say, by this little act, let it prove to you that when I said I do, I meant it. I also said I mean it. So, the man of God may not be perfect, but he's still part of the system. When you criticize him, you are criticizing somebody's wife. And that man will react. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For this cause, I've taught it here. Go and get the teaching on the body of Christ. I told you the mystery of receiving from the body of Christ was adumbrated in the parable of Samson. Samson went to the Philistines and he gave them a riddle. He said, out of something weak came something strong. And they could not decipher the parable. He killed a lion. And then bees did not know where to go and put honey. They went to a carcass and put honey there. Meaning, if you must enjoy the honey, you can endure the smell. So you come to a man of God who is temperous, but look beyond the temper. There is an anointing. There is always honey in the midst of the carcass. This is the mystery of discerning the body. You have to ignore the limitations that are in people. So if the pastor does not look like you, you may see him a yopi person and babs as if is some of these touts around, these Vegas guys. That may not be the best, but the truth of the matter is that he may be anointed. The woman may dress and she may be careless, you know. Like I was teaching a school of ministry students yesterday, and I told them I went for a program, and there was a woman of God who was introducing something, and I'm not somebody who talks about dressing, but even till today. It's too much. It's not. She didn't leave anything to the imagination. Very bad for a congregation. Very bad for a congregation. I say it again. Very bad for a congregation. Anyway, it happened. But the fact remains that the woman was very anointed. Can you endure the smell? Because the honey is there. It's a mystery how the bees endure the smell to pitch it here. There is this treasure. Let me give you the New Testament translation. That treasure is hidden in, the Bible didn't say in vessels, in earthen vessels. So you may not like me as a person, but why don't you look beyond the limitation and see that there is a treasure? That's why there is no church that cannot bless me. If you search for Jesus, you will find him. I've ministered in all kinds of places. I remember when we were coming back from Ekiti, when we met some of the men of God that prayed for us. Pastor Jake, they could not speak Yoruba. That's enough to annoy me. Say, what is all this? I'm the one who needs the miracle. I need long life. That Baba cannot speak English, but is walking in an experience of a reality. What do you think we did? We looked for an interpreter. There has to be an interpreter. We found an interpreter who came, and the man said we should kneel down. Now, I have received Jesus Christ. I am walking in partnership with his spirit. I have received of the word, but I discern his body. I would have said I'm a man of God. I was going for a crusade. It was a powerful crusade. Mighty miracles. And on the way we stopped. And the man didn't even say you are pastors. Say kneel down. Really, that's what he said. And in Yoruba he was just praying. I didn't hear one thing he said. But all I know is that that man was long. He was living long enough for me to covet that grace. Which part of God's systems have you ignored? Please hear this message tonight. It's the answer to the prayer. That demon that has oppressed you. You have quoted scripture. That's very good. It's true that you are working with the Holy Spirit, but your knowledge is limited. But there is still, out of his benevolence, he has kept an anointing with a vessel. One word, go, will set you free of 10 years of limitations. But we will refuse and say, look, I know Jesus Christ by myself. So you limit God's possibilities to only the revelation that the Holy Spirit and the Word is permitted through your willingness. And sometimes your lifetime may not afford you the dimension of revelation it takes for the result you need. So you must tap into every channel. That's what he meant when he told Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and the spirit. Otherwise you cannot enter. You can see it, but you will not enter. Seeing the kingdom is that it has come to you, but entering it is becoming a testament of the reality. So you can now say, since I was young, now I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. No, that thing was not a poem to be recited by everyone. It was a man's testimony based on a dimension of possibility. You have to make it yours before you speak. Otherwise, you will keep mocking yourself. This is what these unguided confessions that are not out of understanding will keep mocking us. If ye are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. What was his work? He believed God. God told him something. God said, Abraham, I want to introduce a dimension to you I have not done to anybody. And Abraham believed God. Tonight is Easter. All over the world, there are cathedrals, there are ministries, there are crusades, packed full with the over 2 billion Christians on earth, attempting. Men of God, there are tapes rolling all over churches right now. Every man of God attempting sincerely to reveal something that the people can take back about Easter. I brought to you a reality. The Bible says this is the record. It was documented. God has given us eternal life. But this life is in his Son. And whosoever has the Son has that life. But grace and peace be multiplied to you through knowledge. According as his divine power hath, not will, hath, is a fact. Giving us. Every limitation in my life and your life is a revelation of something about the systems of God we have ignored or are still learning and have not come into that fullness. When you know that, you put an urgency to your pursuit for God. For the more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. For the more I see your face, the more I want to see you, Jesus. Shortly we are going to take the communion. Please, those relevant people, let's station them. There are three mysteries that the Lord revealed to me that will be open to us tonight as we partake of the communion. Three. Number one, the communion tonight is an encounter with the spirit of revelation. We need revelation in our lives. We need revelations in our lives. Brothers and sisters, please hear me. We need revelation in our lives. The limitation of my life and your life is not dependent on Satan. Is dependent on how far I can access the dimensions of the possibilities that the life of God can provide based on the knowledge that I have. His life only gives you potentials. Your partnership, accurate partnership, makes it an experience. Tonight, as you partake of this, let something boil in you that all men are equal in Christ, but they are not equal in possibilities. Our possibilities are determined by the truth we have chosen to receive and the dimensions of the systems of the kingdom we have comprehended. And so we must press. Hear what Paul says. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press. There is something I need to know about death to stop being afraid of it. There is something I need to know about poverty. There is something I need to know about restoration. There is something I need to know about fruitfulness. The love of God is revealed when we study His systems. The Bible says the invisible things of God, right? The invisible things are seen, they are learned, they are taught by the things that appear. So I look at and say, what kind of a man is this that grants me access to his life, sends his spirit to me, causes men moved by the same spirit to document more information? The apostles did not have a Bible. All they had was the Torah, right? The Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. But now God has gone the extra mile for our generation because He knows evil and wickedness will increase. And He has left a document to still help us. And then in addition to that, He has empowered men and women in the body so that we are not without excuse. And what a joy the Lord has spoken to us this year, that is our year of triumph. That means we can walk with these systems of the kingdom. When I was studying, I was just studying the Passion of the Christ tonight, and I was so touched looking at everything Jesus went through. Just for me, just for me, Jesus came and did it just for me, just for me. Just for me, Jesus came and did just for me. That's what He did tonight. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory heaven sent, gave all on Calvary just for me, just for me. Jesus came and did just for me. So what is the implication of tonight? I remember his sacrifice. While he was on the way to Golgotha, the Bible says that there were certain things in the mind of God, and Paul was given access to those things. They were encapsulated in a document, and Paul calls it a testament. And then Hebrews chapter 9, Paul is speaking, Pastor Alpha read it there. Jesus knew that those things would be activated only at his death, so they were prepared. And when he died, there was still ignorance, and he started moving through holy men to document these things, to say, now you have access, I have died. For every will is not yet activated until the death of the testator. Jesus died. If he did not die, eternal life will not be a reality. He hung on that cross between two thieves, a 33 and a half year old man, naked. There was no covering. No, he was naked. And he looked at the world that he came to die for. And the people yelled, crucify him. Let his blood be on our children. They were prophesying something that would really happen, because his blood had to be on their children for them to be saved. What was a statement of war was a prophecy. Let his blood be upon our children. They didn't know that was why he was on the cross. They mocked him. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not go to the cross as Jesus. He went to the cross as me and you. When he stood there, he saw me, saw Joshua Selman. He saw Koinonia. Remember Acts chapter 2. They were caught in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what do we do? He said, repent for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive that promise. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to your children's children. He says, as many as are afar off, which the Lord will call. This is where we came in. In Acts chapter 10, reading from verse 38 down to 44, the Bible says, the moment the Holy Ghost fell on all they that had him, day of the circumcision, the Jews said, I perceive, truly we now see that God is no respecter of persons, but that in every nation, whoever calls upon his name will be saved. Tonight we are taking the communion. Number one, access to the spirit of revelation. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, I bow my knees and I pray for you, O church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I desire you to release the reality of Zoe, that life that is indestructible, that life that is far above principalities and powers, the life that is capable of demonstrating dominion here and now, the life that is characterized by victory, the life of meaning, the life of fulfillment, the life of purpose. But it's accessed through knowledge. The spirit of revelation. Number two. The second thing that the communion will release to us tonight is reenacting that covenant of life through that prophetic act that we are going to be doing. The Bible says, he that eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood hath my life. Do you know what that means? There are many things at work in your life now that were not sponsored by that eternal life. Watch this. My body, as designed by God, is supposed to grow through a system. There should be a symmetry and a synergy, correct? If a boil starts coming out from here, that boil is growing not at the same pace with my body. Now, biologically, they can say something is responsible, but spiritually, we know that another life is responsible. So the result of that another life, I see it different from my body. So what you do is, by the mystery of the communion, you are taking it to your physical body, physical flesh and blood. It's a mystery that reminds the devil that every part of you was handed over to Christ. That means whatever is not a derivative of the life of God, put it scripturally, every tree that was not planted by my Father, meaning there are other farmers. Are we together? There are other what? Farmers. For instance, while men slept, an enemy, he's a farmer. The Bible says he came and sowed He's a farmer and left. Whether that sleep is a spiritual sleep, psychological sleep as a result of the weight of the vicissitudes of life, fatigue, several things happening in your life and you did not know, and it weighed you down, or as a result of real physical sleep, the activities of darkness. Listen, as you take this, I want you to discern the Lord's body. Don't just, to discern the Lord's body is not to eat slowly. To discern the Lord's body is to take it with understanding. It's not that you close your eyes, you take it slowly. No, 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 that is religion. To discern the Lord's body is that as you are taking this, truly speaking, this is wafers, this is wine. But my understanding authorizes the Holy Spirit to form an eclipse between that activity, that dinner thing and me. And as I lift it, is the same thing as the servants who were carrying water. While they lifted it, the distance between his word and your mouth causes a miracle to happen. This is what will make somebody hold it. And just the distance from the table to your mouth, you can't stand it. An anointing responding to your understanding. That's why somebody can take the communion and all of a sudden you feel you just took something small. That before it got to your stomach, a lot of itself was hanging around different parts of your body. But all of a sudden, you take it and you are already feeling fire on your leg. Did that thing get to your leg? It's a mystery. You only gave him space. Tonight, can your communion be a body that you have prepared for him? We have prepared a body. Remember, a body hast thou prepared. Without a body, he cannot move. So the communion, just like the human body, can become the body. Tonight, that communion can be the hand that heals you. Tonight, that communion can be the mystery that destroys the devourer for your non-tithing. And God can say, I give you a clean slate, start again. Tonight, that communion can be a reversal of several things. If you take it with understanding. Are we together? So we are going to pray. But before we pray, overflow one, overflow two, by the road, those online, from any nation and any place you are listening to, the first key is to receive the life of God, Zoe. The life of God is not Christianity. Christianity was a description given to possessors of that life. God is not initiating you into a religion. He says, come unto me. Listen, there are people seated here looking at me inside and outside. You are tired. And you are saying, Apostle, as I stand right now, sincerely, I don't even know what my life is about. I have tried like the worship team sang. I've done everything. But tonight, I am in all humility, lifting my heart and my hands and saying, I need that life. My father refused to receive the life. My mother refused to receive the life. My brothers and sisters refused to receive the life. I choose to receive that life. And there are yet others who may say, at one point, I came for an altar call. But sincerely, I don't know the name of what I did. I only know that they said congratulations and they gave me hamper. I ate what was inside, but nothing entered me. And this night, I want to eat of the bread. He said, my body is meat indeed. For in the sanctuary, God is near. Oh, come lay down the burdens you have carried. For in the sanctuary, God is here. Wherever you are, just wait till I start counting before you come. I'm going to count 1 to 5 because of time. There are people here who are saying, Apostle, as I start listening to you, I knew that I had to be sincere with myself, and I knew that I have to win this war. My life does not reflect Zoe in any way. Number one, I have not even received it. Every time I hear preachers talk like Saul of Tarsus, I mock them and I say they are wasting my time. But tonight, I want to win that one. And number two, there are others who said, well, I know that I came and confessed something. For a while, I was even walking with God. But sincerely, I know between me and God right now that I'm not serious with Him. And I don't want any pretense again. Wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you. Overflow 1, 2, wherever you are. I want you to make your way here. I would have asked you to go to the overflow outside, but there is a reason why I want all of you here. So as I count 1 to 5, there are people there. I want you to run like there's fire on the mountain. Leave your seat and come out here right now. If you are ashamed of your friend, you are ashamed of your brother, you are ashamed of your sister, then you are wasting the mystery of Easter. Start coming. 1. God bless you. Leave your seat and come. Don't be ashamed. Clap for them, Koinonia. Appreciate them as they come. God bless you. Keep coming. That flows from, help me see, Emmanuel's faith. Keep coming. Lose all their guilty strength. The third mystery that you will receive tonight from the communion is an empowerment for a strange order of dominion. Please don't forget these three things. Don't forget these three things. Number one, access to the spirit of revelation. Number two, an exit of everything that was not planted by God. There will be mighty, mighty miracles and deliverances as you take this. Number three, an empowerment for a strange order of dominion. The centurion said, for I am a man under authority. I say unto one, go, and he goeth. I say unto another, come, and he cometh. Speak the word only. The Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. That as you partake of this communion, something will come upon you. The Bible says that when you take it, right? 1 Corinthians 11, when you take it, that you announce, you declare the Lord's death. The meaning of that is that you tell principalities and powers that the person you used to know is not the person now. Jesus died, and I died in him. And now the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Another system. Zoe, God's life. Now this is what we are going to do. I'm going to give you 2 prayer points. We are going to pray seriously. And everyone outside, you don't have to come. There are the first overflow at the projector. There is a provision like this. The second overflow at the projector. There is a provision like this. And then in here, we did it because of time. Now this is all you are going to do. Those here, you would come this way. Just take the cup and the bread. Drop the cup there and march this way. Those here, you will do the same thing. And then I think there will be a provision here at the minister's stand so that we don't have chaotic things. Please, some of you will fall under the anointing as you do it. Just be careful and let's just coordinate them. I want to pray and bless this now. And then we are going to pray. The moment you partake of it, you go back and find a corner and begin to blast in tongues and pray these three things in your life. That's happy Easter for you. You have to pray it with all your heart and say, Lord, I understand this mystery. Let my understanding permit the life of God to find expression. Prayer point number one. Lord, I believe. I believe. But in case I do not believe, help my unbelief. Lift your voice and pray. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Lift your voice and pray. Pray inside and outside. Pray inside and outside. Are you praying? Help my unbelief.
Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel. Your name is called Emmanuel. Your name is called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Point number two, Lord, as I partake of this, let the mystery of the communion be enacted in me. Whatever this represents, I permit it to work in me. Lift your voice and pray seriously. Inside, outside, those online, get bread and get wine or water, get something that represents the communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please listen. I want to pray for the communion. 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23. The apostle is speaking and he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus," listen, "that same night which was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" 25. "After the same manner, he also took the cup." Listen, are you seeing the order? So you take the bread, then you take the cup. He took bread and said, "Eat." Then he took the cup and he says, "This is my blood of the New Testament. Do this as often." And then he says, 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." Now he says, "For this cause," verse 30, "many are weak for not partaking of this with understanding." Many are weak. Many are sick, and many among you sleep. Meaning, if I partake of it with understanding, among other things, it should destroy weakness, it should destroy sickness, and it should destroy death. That's the next prayer point. Lord, weakness, sickness, and the plague of death, any kind of death, it leaves my life now. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Victory. Victory. Over sickness, weakness, death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now please agree with me. I want to pray. I tell you, I sense such a strong anointing in this place. I'm praying here at the projector stand, everywhere. Those online, regardless of any nation, just go and get something. Water, wafers, food, whatever. It's just a token.
Who can stand against the Lord?
No one can. No one will.
Who can stand against our King?
No one can. No one will.
Oh, oh, oh. Victory belongs to him.
the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, tonight I stretch my hands prophetically. In the name of Jesus Christ. Upon this communion, this is ordinary wine and wafers, but Lord, we command it to lose its earthly significance now and take on a heavenly significance. And Lord, I pray, using this as a point of contact to every other communion set around the world connected to us now, I decree and declare that this becomes a type and a shadow, a similitude of the body of Jesus, a similitude of the bread, the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we partake tonight, we access the spirit of revelation. As we partake tonight, every stranger in our life must go immediately. And Lord, as we partake tonight, fresh fire for dominion and triumph. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, Lord, we declare this blessed. We call it blessed right now. I put the word of God upon it. And I declare that it will produce miracles. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Please start coming. Start coming. The worship team, help us. Let us have some people come and stand. Open it up. And then victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs. Victory belongs to Jesus.
Elpaka Sunanka Ubangi Jika Isayabo Na Girmama Sunanka Ubangi Jika Na Elpaka Sunanka Ubangi Jika Isayabo Na Girmama Sunanka Ubangi Jika
No. What is wrong here? Why are there no people coming?
Please, quickly, if you are coming, ushers, coordinate them, protocol, coordinate them, please. There's a lot to do. If you are coming, double up, please, quickly, quickly, quickly. Let's save time.
There is no other name like Jesus. There is no other name. No, no, no. There is no other name like Jesus.
Are you praying?
There is no other name.
Are you praying?
No, no, no. There is no other name like Jesus. There is no other name. No, no. There is no other name like Jesus. There is no other name. No, no, no. There is no other name like Jesus. There is no other name. No, no, no. There is no other name.
You are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
Hey! And you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
Hey! I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
We praise you.
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 We praise
you.
We praise
you.
We praise
you.
We praise
you.
We praise
you.
We love 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 you.
Living God, yes you are.
You are the only living God.
Hey, you are the only living God. Yes you are.
You are the only living God.
You are the only living God. Yes you are.
You are the only living God.
I say you are the only living God. Yes you are.
You are the only.
I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
Hey, I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
Hey, you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only living God.
I say you are the only living God. Yes, you are.
You are the only.
We praise you.
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 We praise
you.
We praise
you. We praise you.
We love 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 you.
I adore you. The Lord, let your name be glorified. Hey, you are the Lord, let your name be glorified. You are the Lord, oh,
you are the Lord.
Let your name be glorified.
You are the Lord,
let your name be glorified. I say, you are the Lord, let your name
be glorified.
I say you are.
clear and get me success. Success.
Success.
Hallelujah. Jesus, conquer the world and give us victory. Victory.
Victory.
Jesus, conquer all the sickness and give me good health, good health,
good health, good health. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, conquer all the poverty and give me success, success,
success, success. Hallelujah.
Jesus, conquer.
Your hand, something is happening to you. Something serious is happening in your spirit.
Lift your hands.
You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, thou fountains of the deep, and we, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, at the count of three, I command a baptism. You are taking something in your body of the spirit of revelation. One, two, three. Take it. Take it. That fire upon you. Illumination. By the mystery of communion. Step into a new dimension of light, of illumination. I command your spirit man to comprehend with all the faith, the length, the breadth, the height, the depth. I call your spirit man right higher, a higher dimension, a higher dimension, a higher dimension.
Mantles are falling here tonight. Mantles are falling here tonight. Mordecai are rising from the gates of the church. Deborah's are rising from the gates of the church. For the king to be born, for revival to be born, for revival to be born. For the king to be born.
Now listen to me. Any stranger in anyone's body now, whether by covenant, whether by sickness, right now as I speak, let the mystery of the communion speak now. I command judgment. Every sickness, blood disease, covenant, right now, every tree not planted, help that lady, by my Father. Let it go now. Let it go now. Terminal diseases, yokes of delay, limitations, I command it to give way right now.
I tell you, there is a strong impartation in this place. I want to activate upon you a grace. Listen, the Bible says, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Rule thou, that they may come against you in one way, but that an unction from the Most High can be upon you and scatter them a thousand ways. The Lord has declared that it's a year of triumph. You are about to receive something that will make you run like Elijah. I pray for you. The mantle of strange dominion. Strange dominion over principalities, over circumstances. Take it now. Take it now. Run like Elijah. Run like Elijah. Take it now. I release that mantle. I release that grace. No limitation. No limitation. Breakthrough. Dominion. Breakthrough. In business. Breakthrough. In career. Breakthrough. In academics, I command it. by the spirit of dominion. Hear me. Anyone here who is a man of God, you are in any kind of ministry, may an unction for kingdom authority, let it come upon you right now. Take it now. Take it now. Grace. Kingdom authority. Take it now. Dominion. Let that fire rest on your ministry. Let that fire rest on your church. Let that fire rest on your assembly. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that everything Jesus died for and is not yet manifest in your life, from tonight, I give the devil no rest. May your eyes begin to see the salvation of the Lord. May your eyes begin to see the salvation of our God. I pray for every family represented here, and I prophesy, enough is enough of every demonic assault. Therefore, tonight, by this communion, I release judgment. I release vengeance. I release judgment. I release vengeance. I release judgment. I release vengeance. Whoever has partnered with darkness to keep your family bound, this night, as Jesus died, in exchange, may the earth open and swallow them. May the earth open and swallow them. The kind of results that your hands have not handled, I pray for you, that in the next 30 days, as surely as the Lord lives, by the mystery of the death of this Savior of ours, step into that dimension of results. Step into that dimension of results. Hallelujah. Buried with him in baptism. We died with him. And when we resurrected to a new life. Whatever makes the reality of eternal life to not speak in your life, I decree and declare right now that that barrier is broken forever. Finally, I pray for you. The anointing to bring others to this experience, the unction to walk in the reality of the life of Christ, to walk in healing, to speak breakthroughs to people, I stretch my hands upon you like the dew of heaven. Let it fall on you right now. Let it fall on you right now. Let it fall on you right now. Right now, it's yours. Take it. Let it fall on you right now. Like the dew of heaven, the unction to demonstrate the kingdom. The unction to demonstrate the kingdom. I release it for you right now. Pastor Alpha shared a scripture, we're rounding up. The moment Jesus died, the Bible says, and graves opened. And graves opened. And they that had been dead, some of them for years, I want to prophesy resurrection. In the name of Jesus. Like Lazarus, like the son of the widow at Nain, like the 12-year-old lady in the Bible, I decree and declare, everything called dead in your life, as a result of this mystery, this night, not tomorrow, I command them to come back to life now. I command them to come back to life now. Dead opportunities, dead relationships, dead graces, in the name. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus in total thanksgiving. Give him praise. Now you can celebrate Easter with joy, knowing that you have a revelation and knowing that you can take back something and say, Jesus died.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Community Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Community Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.